Welcome to the Warmaster Podcast, episode 109 with Paul and Barry.
Why, hello, listeners.
I did try and get some other tech working today, but I couldn't get the fucking stuff working properly.
Well, there's a surprise.
Yes, that is a surprise. That's one of the... I gave it half an hour this morning, probably needed more time. But I will apologise, because I've now discovered why the fucking audio is so shit in here. And it was so good in Paul's man cave, which no longer exists, by the way. We'll talk about that later. it's because I've got, like, bare-ass, brand-new flat walls, and they reflect
why
sound.
Why is that? Why are these walls so bare?
Oh, I love it. I'll tell you that story as well. So my wife wants every fucking surface covered in pictures.
That's not my thing.
I just refuse to do it. So they've just been sat there, fucking waiting to be put up.
Because
I like the bare walls. I like the fact that it's freshly painted.
Why do you like it like a cell?
Well, it's not quite like a cell. I have agreed to put a few up, but I just like how frustrated she gets. Because she won't do it herself.
Why won't she do
it
herself?
She just fucking moan about it.
Why won't she do it herself?
I don't know exactly. Well, if it's that important, get on with it.
Window into Barry's marriage there.
Something like that. So, we're now using this fucking Samsung Go, USB Go mic that's plugged in, and the fucking thing's peaking like nobody's business. So anyway, so Paul's man cave, the reason Paul's man cave was so audially good is because it was awesome. Fucking full of shit. Like, there wasn't a fucking millimetre of space in that room that didn't have something in it.
And it will so again.
It had like 15 fucking shelves on each wall full of miniatures, had books, a whole fucking wall of books, had blankets hanging down and shit.
Yeah, that's going to be a wall, isn't it now? So,
I'd say all that stuff provided, like, it had insulation in the roof.
Yeah. Yep.
So it was like absolutely perfect for recording studio. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And then we come here, it's all reflective, and I'm using a big open condenser mic, so you'll hear everything, including the dog, postman, all burping, whatever it is.
Sorry.
So apologies that the sound isn't what it should be, but I'm going to work on it. We are going to get it sorted.
It's free at the end of the day. So
I love you. I love Paul's. Well, you don't fucking pay for it. So shit as we like. Infrequent and shit.
Send us money and we'll stick to our routine.
Such a mercenary. Just send me your money. Right, so what's our discussion point today, Paul?
Daventry Master, we've called it here, but I don't think the tournament actually had a name.
Think a tournament should always have a name.
It should have a name. Christmas War Master? I don't know.
Christmas Master.
I haven't got the pack.
Santa Master.
I haven't got the pack on me.
How are you going to talk about the fucking scenarios?
Because I know them, don't I?
Oh, well, I trust your recall.
It didn't happen. It was brand new. It was the first time. And it had been a 8th edition event they've held seminally. Is that the right word when it's yearly? Seminally?
Annually.
Seminally
is like the ultimate edition of something, like the best of something.
Thank you for answering the question I didn't ask.
Grammar with Barry.
Yeah. So, and this is the first time they had done this, and it was very good. Very, very good. We've called it, for want of a better word, Daventry Master, because that's where it was.
Yes.
And Daventry is really nowhere, isn't it?
I said it's the logistics hub of Britain.
Yeah.
So basically all the fucking trucks go there to pick up shit and deliver it around England.
It's
nothing.
It's completely unremarkable.
Well, just a massive industrial estate off a motorway.
And then there's a little town that where we went and got picked up lunch with Chris from, and it was just like, this is like Middle England, isn't it? Yeah. Problems aren't here.
Problems aren't here. Well, we're not going Brexit. We're not going Brexit today. No, sorry, Bob. That's people who'll be tuning out. So, it's been a few weeks.
Yes.
Like, well before Christmas.
Yeah.
So, you must have done a shitload.
Well, the big stuff, I'll talk about the tournament.
Well, that's the main topic.
Yeah, but I didn't need to paint anything for that tournament because I took Skaven. For the January club dates, I've been people have booked me up for a few things, so I'm painting now to deadlines to try and use things as painted as I can for the club nights, which is cool, quite cool. And anyway, I've got a whole bunch of projects I want to do, and it's just focuses my painting onto the next thing to be used. So I brought in what I've been painting my Riddler crew for the Batman Miniatures game, because this set here is the Knight Models, this Spanish company, have redone how they sell their game, and they do what they call back boxes. So they do complete factions in a box,
So let me guess, it's probably a 50, I think.
Yeah.
50. Because it's metal.
Because it's got the cards and everything.
And the metal.
They're resin.
They've gone resin now, have they?
They had resin for a while. Yeah. There's new miniatures in these boxes that weren't previously, brand new miniatures.
Ooh, and you can only buy them in the box?
At the moment, yeah.
Oh, that's normal.
So what I did was, obviously, I'd sold...
Sold the other stuff.
I read the writing on the rule, sold the old stuff to get... Because this bat box, and it's also got more rules in it for the character, for the new... And it really... Some of the synergies work well. So, for example...
Big fat boy with
So he's called... He's literally called Irish... Yeah, like, is how stereotype is that?
I guess he's modelled on the guy from... Well, he's probably modelled from a character from Batman,
no, he's
to
called
be honest.
Finn O'Farrell, and he's just alias is Irish.
Irish.
Something I really like in this is, so here's the Joker. The Riddler. I always get that wrong. And he's the faction's boss. And then one of his minions is this guy called, that alias is the Riddle Man.
You've said about this in the past.
So he drops riddles that the Riddler then solves and scores
and
points.
And gets VPs.
Yeah, gets VPs. And VPs is how you win this game.
Thank you, dog.
Yeah. So I really like the way that they've marketed this, because that's a very good synergy effect. It'd be like...
Well, it sounds very fucking easy.
No. But it'd be like, if you imagine the game, it'd be like Privateer Press selling you a complete 75-point army that works well in a box. And not just like something that's driven by sales, like as in, oh, they want to shift these products. It's like, this is as good as you could design a faction, in a sense.
And no, there's no mercs, it's just all...
No, it's just pure that affiliation of Quiz.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it is cool. I mean, and so much so that I've ordered the Bane one as well. The Bane.
I mean, he's the only one that interests me.
His faction's small, like, is in terms of, because they're all elite.
It's just
guys,
him.
It's Bane and five elite mercs. Yeah, so it's only six models. Mm-hmm.
But the universe doesn't really excite me. I was never really a Batman fan. I thought it was a bit of a toss pot.
Fair enough. But it does. I mean, I'm playing it with Eric. Eric really likes it.
Is he Batman?
No, not all the time. And it does... It is a lovely little game system for all its little, intricacies. It's skillful as well. It's like... the last time I'm playing this tonight. And I'm playing against, actually, Eric at the club, for a change. I didn't score a single VP for a knockout or a kill. It was all scenario for me.
Uh-huh.
So I think he's putting down the gorillas against me, Gorilla Grodd. So it's like...
I don't know any of these characters.
So that's going to be a bit one... he's going to try and beat me up, and I'm just going to solve my riddles. I think I'll barely hit him back. I'll just be trying to solve these riddles.
Right, fantastic. Well, they look nice. There's a bit of blue on them, or purple, isn't it? It's not even blue.
It's green and purple, is their
green
colour.
Green and purple, yeah. It must be...
I've started painting at work on my day shift breaks. Like...
So how do you feel about not painting blue? Was that,
it was tricky. The green was a very weak colour, and it needed... So they all needed two coats.
Just goblin green?
No, it's warpstone green, I think. But it is a weak colour. And I noticed the green range of GW paints is far less developed than the blue range. They've got more... They've got tons of shades of blue.
Not
so many shades of green. Yeah. So it's done. And the next thing I will be painting is... I'm not at the club for next Wednesday because of work, so in a week's time, but I am at the club then for two, quite a lot actually, and Anthony's put me two games of Flames of War, so I'm going to paint up my desert Flames of War guys. He actually, literally, he was kind of... I do believe at times in a bit of fate, and like...
So what's your... Italian or something?
No, British.
Oh, you're doing another British army?
I've already got it. You know I have that. Yeah, it's new, the newer plastic.
Oh, right, yeah.
I was at this club. So I'll talk about the tournament, but the place took part in an independent gaming store, which is very well stocked, and they had tons of Flames of War, of stock, including pretty much all the range of the new version 4, including all the scenery. And I was thinking, I was thinking at the time, I was like, I wish I could play on a desert table with nice scenery, because it's Flames of War.
Fate.
And Anthony messaged me while I was thinking it to arrange games for Flames of War. And I was like...
Is he playing the current edition? Or
yeah, no, we're both playing V3.
Right.
But, and I said to him, well, let's go halves on some scenery.
Is that why are you playing V3?
I think it's better. We haven't even, to be honest, we haven't attempted V4, but we liked its complexity of V3.
Right, is it not V4 before?
Streamlined. Now I talked to the guys in the shop, like, because obviously they push it, you know, and I was like, what is the difference between V and V4? And they said they preferred V4, and they would be willing to say, yeah, they're not trying to, but it's not backed by sales, so they're not company men or anything, but. They did admit that some of its streamlining, you haven't got the nice complexity.
Right, good. Good. Well, I love a dead game, so if people stick at V3...
Well, to be honest, there's far more army lists and material for V3 than there is V4.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because they did everything in
V3. They never invalidated any of the books as they went along, so even when they moved editions, you could still use old books.
Exactly. But when you get down to the finer points of it, the books are... scale pointed really against the other forces in that book. So your desert Germans are scaled to fight against your desert British. Doesn't mean you can't fight your desert Germans against your European British, but they've got different equipment basically, and they the forces are matched differently. So if you had the choice, personally, I would stick in the same book if it weren't what you're playing with your friend. I mean, as for a tournament game, I did ask them, what is the tournament game of? And they said the problem was people found too many things that worked well and just they ran rampant in a tournament.
I'm sure.
Because ultimately, these forces aren't really designed to fight. I mean, it is, you can.
Well, too many lists for starters. Hundreds of lists. Yeah. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah. And some of them were so rock, paper, scissors that your tiger company or your panther company just cannot really fight the Russian battalion that it goes up against. Yeah, the infantry battalion, because those fancy guns that your Panthers have are shooting at infantry.
And there's billions of them.
Yeah, and you just can't do enough. Yeah.
Cool. Right, so you're playing the club tonight. I'm probably not going. I'm probably going to try and work on this sound issue tonight. Mm-hmm. I can't do it during the day, and I've got some other bits and bobs to do.
So. Mm-hmm. The other thing was, I've also painted quite a lot of Lord of the Rings.
For Gondor.
And I got my Mordor faction done.
Mordor.
So I got a set of ring wraiths off
each. Can't use all of those?
I did.
In 800 points?
Yeah, I was 5 ring wraiths.
But that's not all of them, is it?
No, because 9 ring wraiths.
You can't have them like bare bones. You've got to have some.
No, I maxed them out. Right. Like, I had the Witch King with all of his equipment. Each ring wraith was maxed out. Because you need the will, because that's how you cast spells. And it drains when you cast spells.
Does it not drain when you fight anymore?
It does, yeah, as well. So,
Jesus.
So when you fight around a combat, you lose a point of will. And when you cast spells, the dice you roll is your will points that you're spending.
Yes, so you might want to roll 2 dice. That costs two will.
2 will. And so unless you're maxing them at 14, you've got a model that's going to pop.
When it runs out of will, it dies.
Yeah, it goes.
You don't choose to fight. The only way,
you can't charge it. You can't give it will back. The only way you can stop it losing will is if it's fighting the ring bearer.
Which doesn't exist in most games.
Most games, yeah.
Okay. So good luck with that.
So again, I enjoyed playing. I've also played some games of rings against Eric. And it is as well. And the Ring Wraith faction does not work. But it is a fully finished faction now. So as I slowly expand it, I got some metal Black Numenoreans.
The cavalry models of those are just ridiculously powerful. I looked in the book and went, oh my fucking God.
I got some Black... online they're resin, and I bought at a private sale some metal ones. So
metal are always better.
Yeah, of course. And they're cool. I mean,
it's not even resin; it's probably fucking fine cast.
But like having painted a fine cast model, honestly, I would buy metal again over that any day.
You try stripping the piece of shit as well. Oh man, they're fucking awful.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe they thought they could charge more money for fine cast than for fucking metal.
Only GW could do that.
That is nuts, mate. I wouldn't even give you half price for this.
I think that's probably their lowest point. That is in their lowest thing they've done.
Ever. Yeah. And they're still not out of it yet because they're still bringing it back in fine cast.
Well, yeah, because I guess they haven't got the model. I mean, some of the models were never made in metal. I think they weren't. They didn't make metal molds and then convert them over to fine cast.
Oh, they did.
Oh, did they do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but there were some things I'm sure that were only ever fine.
Well, that could well be true.
Yeah.
But they definitely moved metal miniatures into fine cast, and then either the molds were destroyed or they got rid of the molds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now it's just fucking fine cast.
garbage.
Garbage. They're fucking awful. They had to invent liquid green stuff just to deal with FICA.
The problems of their product, yeah. And I've had to use that, yeah.
Fucking liquid green stuff. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, anyway, we're not here to slag GW off.
I mean, good work. In all, like, to call a spade, these resin models by these resin models by Knight Miniatures, they have a few problems as well. Like
all resin, have bubbles in, but it wasn't. They were made of like fucking Swiss cheese. That's what fine cast. I remember John Webb told a story once. So he ordered this fine cast model, right, and it had bubbles in it, and he wasn't happy with it. It was the bubbled in on the face.
John Webb wasn't
John
happy.
John Webb wasn't happy. How many times do you think he returned that? He didn't, because they don't ask for it back. They just send you a replacement.
Five times.
He had six models, and he still wasn't happy. They sent him the fucking.
John Webb wasn't happy.
Six times!
Remember, he's always happy.
Six times they sent in the same fucking model and he wasn't happy with any of them.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the day John...
He probably got his money back. He probably had all six miniatures, which he made.
Yeah.
Probably. And probably got his money back anyway.
Yep.
But that's how bad Finecast is. He'd have gone through the whole fucking shop and not found one he was happy with.
That's funny, because he's normally so upbeat and, like, you know, he's going.
Is he... Mr. Bones God. Anyway, so what's next? My world's been fuck all. I've done literally fucking nothing. Played with the kids a bit over Christmas. That was nice. I've been hammering the shit out of Diablo 3.
All right, yeah.
On the console. Yeah, I've been waiting for that on, because I tried it on the PC, but I just wanted something I can just sit down with a controller and relax for an hour with. It's a bit weird though. Have you ever played Diablo?
No.
Right. So this one. There's no lethality. I might have to crank up the set. And I've been playing it with my 8-year-old, like two-player co-op. But it's just literally just jamming buttons and fucking everything dies. Like all day, you just for an hour, you're just fucking smashing buttons and everything's dying, and you're not even getting damaged. Yeah. It's just like
it sounds that you have to, it has to be harder than that, doesn't it?
I'm sure you can crank up the lethality. I'm sure that's something I'm gonna have to explore, because. People play it for fucking ever and they get like to level 70 and then they start another character and do it again and
then
come on man, there's got to be more to life. I just want to finish the game, move on.
Yeah,
finish
yeah,
the game,
yeah,
move yeah. on. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's not what happens with Diablo 3. It's definitely all I did with the earlier Diablos. Mm-hmm. So apart from that, I haven't really been doing much. Bit of Blackgate stuff, which we'll talk about later. Bit of fucking dog stuff. Oh my god, the dog.
What has he been doing?
Not just eating time.
Oh, okay.
A surprise. So we're gonna have to. I'm gonna have to find a way of having the dog near me, but not in the garage, because you can't have the dog exposed to the lethal fumes that I'm exposed to in the garage.
You can get. Why don't you get that dog gas mask?
I'm supposed to wear a gas mask.
I had them World War One. Dog gas mask.
So I'm just gonna get like a staked out area.
Yeah.
Like this big stake and a chain, and it can sit in the garden with the door open, and it can watch me fucking do the casting.
And it'd be happy.
Because I can't leave it locked in the house for like 3 hours while I'm in the garage, because it'd go nuts.
Be like, nah.
And we didn't get a dog to leave it on its own all day every day. So anyway, the dog's eating a lot of time, but that's what puppies will do. So
yeah.
If you want to have any fucking free time, don't have a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be run off your feet, have a puppy. So what's next on our list, fella?
Next on our list, War Master World.
Oh.
So Warmonger List Builder.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? Dave's now on Facebook and he's fucking quick.
I didn't realise. I mean, bring it up to speed, because I've been trapped in.
So like people were saying, oh, the lead belchers.
Yeah.
They're called lead belchers.
Yeah.
They're only one per thousand.
Oh, is it?
And the army builder.
Yeah.
And like within half an hour it's changed.
It's fixed well.
High elf archers only had no ranged attack, which I prefer. No elves should have ranged attack.
And he fixed that as well.
Yeah, straight away.
Brilliant. Oh, cool.
And he's talking about doing a new version of it, which will be aimed at mobile. Because it's quite hard to use on mobile.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you touch the hero, it disappears.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, that'd be fantastic. And he's really responsive, and it's brilliant.
Fantastic.
And he's on there as Warmonger Miniatures. If you ever want to get hold of him.
Oh, so it's the same, I didn't connect that, it's the same man. Yeah,
yeah, that's him, Dave.
Fantastic.
That was brilliant news. Also some other discussions cracking on there, but I can't remember anything that's jumped out at me as being, I was surprised about. Did you come anything?
No, I mean, I had to say, I've been trapped at work the past 3 days solid. I've done 39 hours. Yeah,
well, that's good.
Yeah, in 3 days. But nothing stood out to me. Christoph linked a lovely painted ogre army.
He's a pretty good painter, that Christoph.
He is a pretty damn good painter.
Mm-hmm. He sent me the pictures, so I'm going to be using some of them on my website.
Yeah, yeah, you should use them. They're good.
So another great thing about the Warmaster Facebook group,
yeah,
it's Alice is there.
Yeah.
So Alice, if you ask a rules question, you get a rules answer from the guy who wrote the fucking rules.
Yeah.
So I don't even get involved. Sometimes I get involved. Sometimes I get it wrong. Sometimes I'm mostly nearer there. But yeah, if I knew Alice was always going to answer, I wouldn't even fucking bother.
Yeah.
I just maybe you should just summon him. Just like tag him, Alice. Come and deal with this, Alice.
Yeah.
Sort it out. So it's brilliant to have him on there. So if you any doubt, I mean, obviously, if you're in a game, don't expect him to fucking answer you within the time you're playing the game. But if if you want an answer, put it on Facebook.
Nah, God, mate. Yeah, but like, I mean, and he, again, and that's somebody doing that for nothing, for no, like, that's really nice of him.
That's amazing, isn't it? If you think about the amount of time and energy and money it must cost him, like, in just time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the opportunity cost of his time.
Yeah.
To do this fucking madness. Lex is selling out.
Yeah.
I can understand, because there are things in Revolution that don't sit well with me. But if it's the only game in town, isn't it? So what do you want to do?
Yeah.
But mine's mainly based around optional rules and the like wholesale adoption of them.
Yeah.
Without any trial and error and stuff. But it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the end of the day, if people want to use the optional rules, that's the way it is.
Yeah. I do.
Exactly. Same. I'm not going to bring it back to Brexit. Right, so what? Anything else in Warmaster World?
It's Warmaster, let's build a new app and changes to database and Christoph and the Painted Ogres.
Yeah, so it would be sad to see Lex. I've never actually met him in person.
No, and maybe he might appear at some future event abroad. Like if Christoph runs a Belgian event,
he would
be there. It would be interesting to meet the man.
That'd be good. I bought some stuff, I think.
Yeah.
But not this painted stuff. But if people are looking for painted armies, I mean, geez, he's got stuff that was never released.
Yeah, exactly.
He was in the inner coven or whatever you want to call it. Thanks for all you did, Lex. I hope you don't go away. But if you do go away, I hope you find something you enjoy equally as much as you have Warmaster.
Yeah, exactly.
Attention. If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
All right, so now we're going to talk about Paul's Danbury Master, Danbury Santa Master. Daventry Santa Master, 2018.
Yes.
Christmas edition.
Yes.
The one that I fucked up my diary on.
Yeah, so tell us about that.
I told you about it.
You're supposed to go.
So, but the problem is that at the moment, as Liverpool are doing reasonably well, although we haven't won a game this year. Well, I mean, we're 10 days in or something, we haven't won a game, 9 days in. I watch it with my daughter. And my son and my wife. And it's really, there's like a bit of momentum going and we're all enjoying the kind of... So I thought that the game was on Sunday and then it turned out it was on Saturday and there was no way I could get back in time.
What game? Were you? Like, how do the listeners know?
So it was the biggest game before the biggest game. It was like the Liverpool-Arsenal game, which was the biggest game until that point.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good game, but it meant that I had to choose between going to a Warmaster tournament or not. But you're not. It's bad.
Left Paul out, hanging out to dry again.
Well, you were driving anyway.
Yeah.
It would have been bad if I was driving. That would have been
the
bad.
The message you sent me, of course, obviously, football doesn't really mean anything to me. And the message you sent me, I didn't, like, is this genuine?
It's bad, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it like, Barry sent me a message saying, Liverpool are only winning because I'm watching them
in my pants
and my lucky pants.
That's just a football thing.
Like, right, okay. So
don't really wear lucky pants.
Well, I don't know. Like, and I'm just like, I don't know what part of this is him like joking or I don't understand.
I've got my comeuppance though because unfortunately one of my children supports Manchester City, even though the rest of my family, even extended family, all support Liverpool.
Is that the youngest one?
No, the middle boy.
Middle boy.
So,
the rebel.
Well, yeah, the bastard. So he supports Manchester City. And of course, the next game, I have to watch Liverpool-Manchester City, which Manchester City lose, win, and Liverpool fucking lose. And he's in the fucking room gloating. And I'm like, bastard. Proper bastard.
Why does he support Man City?
The real reason.
Yeah.
Because they were winning.
So why do you support Liverpool?
I don't know. Maybe that's the same.
Have you ever been to Liverpool?
Yeah, yeah. I'm from like 18 miles from Liverpool.
You're from 18 miles?
18 miles from Liverpool.
18?
Yeah, that's... I mean, if I was sort of going to support Wigan Athletic or Warrington Town, then it's them or the Scumchester. But because all these other teams didn't matter. There was no Man City back in the 70s, really. Mm-hmm. There was no Everton. I mean, but unless you lived in like the town centre of Liverpool, no one supported Everton.
Right, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
And the same for Manchester City. No one supported Manchester City unless you lived right in the centre of Manchester.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like where I was from, it's like Man United and Liverpool.
Okay. So. If that's what you're going to the judge with. Yeah.
That's
okay.
What I'm going to the judge with. So my daughter asked me if I could, she could watch it with me, and I was like, I thought.
Okay. Well, if you tell me that.
Well, that's what happened.
I'd have been a bit more.
She's watched like a lot of Liverpool matches this year. She's maybe watched 20 matches, full matches, this season.
Okay.
That's pretty good for
enough
football. It's not the fucking football.
Enough of this boring football.
Come on, Liverpool.
So, okay. So it's location and rules. So it's Daventry. Now, I've never been to Daventry before.
And will never go again.
It was, how can I, middle of nowhere? It sounds like Coventry, and that's a close
place. But Coventry's actually got some age to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Although it was bombed to shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely fucking levelled
in
the Second World War.
Yeah. So, Daventry, it's good for logistics.
So the middle of the country, near a lot of motorways.
There you go. Wasn't hard to get to. Traffic at that time of the day and when the date it was meant there was nothing on the road. So I got there in an hour and three quarters, and I'd travel one. I was one of the ones who travelled the further part of it. But the venue was great. It was called Battlefield Hobbies, and it was middle of this industrial estate. So because these shops don't need to be on a high street. And
not best of them at all.
Yeah, best of them not. And their stock was fantastic. It was really good. And they had two gaming areas, downstairs and upstairs. We were upstairs. Plenty of space. They did not have any 10mm scenery that was suitable. So, but we had brought our own.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do in Warmaster. And there was available food, like tea and coffee there. And it wasn't far into what counts as Daventry. To get lunch, so I would happily that venue was fine. Happily go there again. And what I did really like the venue was on the downstairs area they had loads of names up on a wall like a memorial, and I was like, what's this about?
Yeah.
So I asked the shop assistant, and I was like, sales assistant, what's all the names about? Well, the shop was kickstarted 5 years ago, and those who backed it at a certain pledge got their names emblazoned up on a wall.
What?
And I thought, that's a good thing. Yeah.
That guy must have had a lot of goodwill in the community to get people to back.
Exactly.
Against.
Yeah. So and they really they do a lot of events, in-house events. I was thinking, if I was ever to do such a thing, that's how I'd go about it. Yeah. And what else?
Were they good pricing?
Yeah.
Local 10% off.
10% off.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
did magic and stuff.
But the thing that stood out to me of like, oh, they got a lot of this stock, was they had more in stock of Flames of War stuff than I think than Flames of War's own website has.
Oh, jeez.
So I was like, But I did talk to them about that, and it's because that company runs stuff is made in China or whatever, so it comes in batches,
right?
And it runs out of stock. You're just so used to thinking like in GW terms of they just make it themselves. Well, nobody does that. Only GW does that.
I'm not sure they make all of it themselves either.
Yeah.
But
anything printed comes from abroad. Venue was great. So the rules. Tournament pack was basically my Winter Roller overtones, and they'd done three of their own scenarios, and I did like them. The scenarios were good. Two of them, one of them used objectives where it was you're placing four, a center objective, and you've got a scrap over that.
Right.
And there's points for breaking and points for holding the middle objective. There was another one which was had back and forth objectives where you're trying to, you're worth more if you get further into the table. You know,
okay.
And then, again, there's points for break out of 10. So there's points for breaking and holding objectives, but only at the end of the game. And then there was a scenario that had a, you could see the Warhammer influence. It was the it was the diagonal deployment type from
right.
corner to corner. And then two objectives in that as well, and then you get points.
So everything was objective-based?
There were objectives in every game.
Okay, that's good.
Personally, as I said, none of them were cumulative scoring, so they only mattered at the end. So really, the objectives were just like, when the game finishes, where you want to be when you...
But do you get to finish your turn, or does it end as soon as you break?
Well, a game ends when you... The game, Warmaster ends when you break the enemy.
Okay.
So you had to be... So personally... with objectives is that I think they need to be cumulative scoring. So you're scoring every time that you're holding them.
Right.
And when you hit 10, you've won. So you add in another wave to end the game. Because otherwise it just becomes essentially a pitched battle, just in different areas where you're fighting. You know, because instead of fighting here, you need to fight over there when you're close.
Well, how many points did you get for the break, for example?
I think most of the time it was like 4 out of 10. And so you could...
Well, we could lose. Break and lose.
Could you... You got points... No, because if you were breaking the enemy, you're also... the opponent... Could you... I'm not sure. But you had... Basically, you would have to... they were all... Yeah, as in, I liked them. And I spoke to Paul and Tony about it. I was like, can I use these scenarios? You know, like, if I need some more in... not BonesCon, but in London GT... but I would make one or two changes. I would make it cumulative scoring,
okay.
You know, which would yeah. But I like that there was scenarios.
I've always said scenarios are important.
Yeah, but as I say, because my army was just Skaven, it doesn't care about scenery or anything else. It's like I tried to blob it over areas I needed to go, but ultimately, most of my games, I was fighting my opponent, and I thought about the scenario afterwards because. I couldn't lose by not holding the right areas until fights had happened.
I think that's one thing that Privateer Press changed the landscape about.
Yeah.
It's like after them and the way they did their scenarios annually and the scenario by Steamroller, like even GW now, even in their most kind of casual friendly gaming systems, they have scenarios.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you roll for scenarios and the scenarios are objective based.
Match play ones, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even Lord of the Rings, it was a scenario.
A product coming out that was featured in the 2019 preview for Rings is a scenario, a player's guide, a match play, tournaments, that pack.
Is it a reasonable price?
Well, I don't know, it just showed pictures, but it's
we don't need to tell you your price, you're going to buy it anyway.
It's a card product, but it's like, here's all the match play scenario shuffle.
Do you get the little tokens in it?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's no models, it's just
yeah, but games, yeah. Well, yeah. General's
Compendium.
Yeah.
Very nice. So that was that. So list you. So I played with Skaven and I had a Breakpoint 14 list.
The low side for Skaven.
Yeah. So I went through, I've been through the list that I've on previous podcasts, but essentially it was.
It's normally that 17, about, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry?
It's normally about 17 your break, isn't it?
Well, I'll talk about. This is part of my discussion. So I'd taken some of everything. I had a couple of unit rat ogres, a unit of... Basically, the Skaven list has a lot of units that are 70 points. Giselles, Plague Monks, they are all 70 points. Gutter Runners are 70 points.
Right.
You're always going to max out on Storm Vermin because they're a snip steal for what they are.
Because you get the Skaven discount.
Skaven discount, but you can take 4, and that's fair enough. And I went with a 7-character build. So basically...
Oh my God!
So basically, the success I'd had with Orcs and Goblins, I wanted to see if the seven characters... If the 7 characters worked for Skaven.
I mean, we've talked in the past. I think there may actually be a build with 1 character.
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
Just fucking do it. Just get the general. Fuck off the screaming bell.
Literally
millions of them.
Yeah.
In one fucking...
And to be honest...
One,
I mean,
bin list.
So the list I'm now going to try next, that's a future build. I can think of 3 or 4 different builds of Skaven.
Could you imagine how funny it would be if you just literally had a general and I don't even know how big the square would be. It would be fucking huge.
Probably a pizza box.
Yeah, of just more. Just have the movement train them all in.
Yeah, yeah.
There we go.
For the first few turns, you just go forward, and then you start reacting.
Just initiative. How much stuff would you have?
20. Breakpoint 20, 24.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh probably. My god.
Yeah. I mean, because each character is two units. You know, like heroes are 80 points, Clamrats are 40.
Are wizards worth taking? Carry on.
Well, probably your only combat modifier. So I'd taken a something of everything Skaven list, and after the results, I'll run through how I'm going to change my list.
Right.
So, round one, I played against Christopher Orr, and he'd taken an ogre list.
The
dentist of dentists. When we went to lunch, when we went to lunch, I asked him in the car, I said to him, okay, so my job's quite easy to describe. I'm a charge nurse in ED, I triage ambulances, I advanced life support. You understand what that is. You've seen A&E, 24 hours in A&E. What's your job, Chris? And I got a description from him, but I couldn't really follow it. Basically, he's fucking good.
Dentist. Dentists are bright people.
Yeah. And I answered a bunch of questions I had about dentistry, like what exactly veneers were and whether dental problems were all
going back to football. If you want to know what veneers are, look at Bobby Firmino. You've seen this fella.
No, he's got
his teeth are enormous and they're toilet porcelain.
So it looks awful.
He looks fantastic. Yeah, he's got this big smile.
He looks so fake.
I just look really fake. Yeah. But he's got lovely teeth.
Lovely teeth. No, he's fake. He hasn't got those teeth.
Bobby Firmino.
He has purchased those teeth.
Yeah, you can tell.
I've inherited these teeth. I've grown them. I've groomed them myself. I paint them.
They look amazing.
Yeah.
You'd smile all day long if you had these teeth.
Right, anyway.
Veneers, yeah.
Yeah. So he played against his ogres. Now, he had gone for...
Playing ogres?
Yeah. So he'd gone for a very... small build of ogres, breakpoint 6.
No greenlings.
No.
Got what they call grots.
Yeah, no.
Nobblers.
None. I made Jim aware. I don't think I remember a game where the breakpoint was so different. Like
mine six was versus 14.
14. Mm. Yeah. So
I mean, as good as those ogres are,
yeah, they got to kill.
There's three no support. Units. How do you fucking support them?
So what happened is obviously. In such a small list, everything was an ogre or ogre mounted or ogre on foot.
Yeah.
So everything's hard. You know, like everything's as good as my... The weakest units are probably as good as my best unit.
But you've actually got them.
Yeah.
How many you got? Two? Four?
What? I've got two. In this list, I was using two. But I just enveloped him. I think, to be honest, Chris should have gone for... Given how different the armies were, he should have risked it all and spread his army out have no support.
I don't know how it helps.
I mean, like his character build wouldn't have supported it, but he had to come at me in a long ogre line essentially, to stop me enveloping him. You know, he'd just have to trust that he'd roll well with his ogres.
But you will roll well, but the problem is you'll lose stands.
Yeah.
Even if I lose a stand and you lose a unit, that's
I'm
bad
up,
for me.
Yeah, I'm up on the deal. Yeah.
You've lost a whole unit, I've lost a stand. I'm fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, what is that you going to do? I'm going to send another unit. Yeah, exactly.
It's really hard. That matchup's horrific.
I don't think I could have lost it.
I don't even think, even if you allow the nobblers to support, I don't think it would make a fucking bit of difference. I think you'd still get hammered. But without being able to support with something that's not 100 points, you're fucked.
So the tail of the game was, there was two areas to fight over, or objectives. He went heavy into one on my left. And it did, when their unit went in, they did a lot of damage. They had two Rhinox-riding characters, then a general separately. No wizard, no. But when it went in, it hurt and it killed a lot of Skaven. But I was like, good. And then I just enveloped him on four sides. I managed to get to a position through two turns where I had ogres trapped on four sides. Yo, no matter how shit my troops are.
Yeah, but you've got this. It's not even the damage you're doing on the front, because it might not be that much, even enveloped all the way around.
Yeah.
The little square, like the Napoleonics,
yeah.
if you form yourself into the square and you've got people all around you, it's the support will crush you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're losing the combat by support.
Just by support, yeah. I mean, I remember that I did roll pretty well at a few times where I could get to, I moved things round to such positions. But then once I gobbled up that flank, that
and you only need to kill six.
Exactly, like, and I he was so far breakpoint so far behind, like as in attritionally, that I was like, I can let you charge me the rest of the game and I'll still win, because I'll hit back. So it was difficult. I don't think there's a way he could have won that game.
Which is the couple of times I've toyed with taking ogres to a tournament. It's not just that matchup that's bad. It's the playing against cannon matchups as well.
I win. I get my win of Skaven. Then round two, I played against Ian and an Albion list, and a very nicely done Albion. Had giants in it.
I just brought this out before, but
something to try with. Four chariots, not more. Four dogs, not more. Lots of infantry.
I bet he would have taken more dogs if they
had
were
a good
40
break. Like break 12, I think. Anyway, it was a big Albion list. Yeah.
And giants?
Two.
Yeesh.
And he played it really. The thing, he played the list really well. Now the scenario in this one was you had further setups and you would score scenario points if you ended the game in the opponent's deployment zone and you weren't, and vice versa. And he got on me really quick. Like he wasn't 80 centimetres away, he was less distance. So within two cavalry moves, and he was on my scale. Now, I probably played a mistake in that I would get a +1 to the starting roll if my army deployed finished first, because you're playing brigade by brigade. So I set my whole army up as one brigade.
Wow.
I was like, ah! This is what Skaven can do. One brigade. But that probably wasn't the right thing to do because I wasn't spread out. I was a big blob.
So we talked about that in Winter Roller. Did we have a restriction that you couldn't do that?
Yes, yes.
There were a maximum of four.
Okay. Yeah. Because in meeting engagement, it would be too good.
Really? Here's my 40 units all in one corner.
Okay. So, but he was on me. And I have to say, Ian played really well. Honestly, it was another 5-star match. I would like, as I want to say, like use wrestling terms. If you could bottle that up as an experience, and that is what you sell. If we could have recorded that game on a podcast, on a YouTube, with good camera angles, and not just, I've been watching quite a few, and like some of them are just really unwatchable because they're not, you don't know what they're doing. So like, in some hand canning and stuff, like this is what we're playing, like this is what's happening here, this is why this is important, that kind of, so you're following it. Almost like narratively.
Yeah.
That would encourage people to play War Master. It was fantastic. So worth the travel, worth everything, that game, for it. He beat me. He had my number, really. Albion had Skaven's number. They seem to have the things they need to have. He exposed when he needed to. He rolled for when he needed to.
Remember them having great infantry.
They have a 3-3-5 infantry.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
okay.
And I was like, should Albion have that? Are they? Yeah. Anyway, they do. Yeah. So we saw.
At least got 3-3-4.
Yeah, yeah. So there's nothing better than a 5-up armor in his army. He used like eagles well, trapping my units. That every good player trick I could think of. Like he didn't expose the wrong things. He kept the weak stuff back when he didn't need to. And he didn't always pursue. He chose what to do when.
Nice, absolutely. Played very well.
Played the giants well. Like he minimalized their going wild. Made sure they're pointing at the right.
Keep
thing.
Keep on the flank.
Can't see
that.
any stuff of their own. It was good, and consequently, I was on the back foot the whole time. I was reacting off his moves. I never once dominant imposed my will on the game.
Even though you sucker punched him on the deployment,
was probably the wrong thing to do. So I got the first turn, but I just spent trying to move my big blob out of Blob. Yeah, like,
big, I mean, the seven characters and the one unit, one brigade.
Didn't work really well. But there was a hilarious moment where my artillery brigade of two warp-lighting cannons and two Giselles all in range to fire at a giant, and all I achieved was confusing my own gun. I fired everything, and all I did was confuse my own warp-lighting cannon.
There's a reason they're not very good.
Honestly, I was just like, well.
How much did you spend on those?
Huh?
How much did you spend?
70, 50, 50, 100, 140, 240, plus the rat swarms backing them up, another 50. 300 point roughly brigade.
Yeah. Do nothing.
Did not do fuck all.
I've never seen them do anything in any game ever.
I think, like, going forward, if I am going to take warp lining cannons, it has to be four of them or not at all.
They're only range 40, aren't they?
I know, they're awful.
It's a fuck them.
They are awful.
Forget about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're wasting your time.
So, yeah.
And they don't ignore armour, don't
they?
No. They're like the high elf bolt throwers.
If you have four of them and you roll averagely, you do 7, 14 shot. You know, set two full guns, rolling single dice each, you do 14 shots. And so then you get about seven or so hits. But then you've got armour.
Yeah, but if you had two.
It's not Empire
Cannon. If you had two units of bolt throwers.
Yeah. You do better.
They do 12 shots.
Yeah.
There's no malfunctions.
Yeah, no malfunctions. No risk of that.
And they're 55 points a unit, aren't they?
Bolt throwers, yes.
So that's 110 points.
Yeah.
And you pay 200 points.
I pay 200 points.
For stuff that's nowhere near as good. These guys don't seem great. Do they have -1 on armour or anything?
No.
Fucking hell, they're awful.
They have cause drive backs. They have this unique, if you've done a damage, you can cause a confusion on a 6, anything touching that thing on a 6.
Okay.
Separately. So, yeah. Anyway.
If it doesn't blow itself up.
Yeah, if you roll 1 and then you blew yourself up. Ian smashed my face in.
Ian was the guy that nearly, when I won the try was the year before.
Yeah.
Ian was the guy that nearly hammered me in game 2. He absolutely fucking mullered me. If you go back in to the archives and listen to that episode, I made a really bad mistake and he lined his Empire cannons on me and he fucking destroyed
you.
Destroyed my cold ones. It's like, oh no, I'm in trouble. And I only managed to scrape by the skin of my arse to get past him.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic player.
Yeah, I said hats off to him. Yeah, like so that ended my streak of tournament wins.
Good.
About 10 I'd gotten at the tournament games of winning, and I ended it.
Have you got to lose?
Yeah, of course.
You got to lose to appreciate winning.
I hadn't played enough Skaven games really to prep for this, and I hadn't played the scenarios before. Yeah,
and you use warp lightning cannons.
That smashed me. So Ian wins. Then round 3 was against Declan, and he's playing Empire. I was well out of the running, so like, I didn't think I could get anything like a position.
What did you lose game 2? Because you won game 1 10-1 or something.
Oh, I lost the second one like 10-2 or
something. Oh, wow, you're fanning.
I got nothing, but some casualties. I got
nothing.
Yeah,
I got nothing.
So round 3 was against Declan and his Empire. Now, he had a really different Empire build. Like, so he's taken 2 units of Knights, about 6 units of Crossbowmen, some handgunners as well. Yeah, so he had like 7-8 missile units. And then 4 units of pistoliers. Basically, he's gone for a very, very heavy ranged Empire list.
And obviously cannons.
Yeah, cannons, yeah, yeah.
And Hellblasters.
Yeah, to protect them.
2 of those.
Yep. Okay. It's his use of, instead of sticking with the minimum missile troops, he's gone a lot more. He's bought more and gotten another type of them. So say like 7-8 missile units. And the breakpoint's quite high because you're not spending a lot of points on expensive stuff.
Like, I mean, these guys are shit in combat.
They are.
Crossbow
men. Like, so the game was essentially, it was a meeting at the diagonal line deployment. And I was like, right, okay, so the game is, I think the game's going to be mostly me trying to run my units at his guns. Like, and I was like, those cannons are probably going to hurt me. And he did the right thing. Like, I got an early plague off on one of them and he used his spell scroll to stop it. And those cannons, they punished me. I started off with a higher break, but by the time we made contact, I was behind on break.
Wow.
Yeah, because those things just, they were murder, death, killing a unit.
Were you in line or column or?
Well, I had no, the thing is, I was trying to mitigate it, but that, yeah, so here, shoot these Rapswarms. Oh, you've killed them. Or shoot that unit. And it's like, yeah, and he could move around and stuff. And he was clever enough to like narrow their angles so he could dictate a bit what he was shooting at. It's because he put the cannons in the middle of his army. Yeah, so he had blinkers around.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, yeah, brigades.
And it was, yeah, I mean, I just, because I'm not getting across the table more than 30 odd centimetres a move a turn, because you've got one move and then stay back to get the second order. So your units only go forward about 30 centimetres.
Are you using big brigades here or something?
Yeah, of course you are. Yeah, like, so, and he was just, yeah.
Because on smaller brigades, I think you can move 50 centimetres a turn. If you're 20 in front and then,
you'd have to get three orders. No, three orders, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not. I, yeah, you're not getting three orders off. Yeah, normally. But yeah, and I just, I did the Skaven. It was a very thematic game, and I was like, so I played the Skaven army. Like I imagined this matchup would go. I was just like, right, just charge him. Yeah, and I lost a lot of Skaven to standing.
There's
and shoot,
a lot of Skaven though. To be fair,
yeah,
I mean, yeah. They breed.
But yeah, yeah. It's like his standing and shooting crossbowmen just output. Like really hit hard, like it's
really
like they just did not seem to miss. Like you know,
because if you line up against his line, they're only doing three shots per unit.
Well, so the first
they?
Unit comes in and takes six shots.
Oh, when you charge like, in.
So the second unit and then he rolls second well, unit, and I lose a stand. The second unit comes in, takes more shots. He's beating me back in combats.
Wow.
Yeah, with his line of crossbowmen.
And not in terrain, just in the open.
In the open,
Jesus.
Yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. I lost a lot of Skaven. Yeah, like, yeah. But it was a great game. I mean, he's good at playing. I mean, I say, encourage the warm. All of the, I mean, Jim had brought, his son was there, who's now, last time I saw him was shorter than me, and now is taller than you. And it's like,
he was the guy who you bought the ogres off,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you
yeah,
sold
yeah,
to
yeah,
Chris,
yeah, yeah.
And he's probably using those ogres.
No, he's using a Chaos army.
Chris Orr?
No, not Chris. Oh, no, Chris Orr, yeah.
He was using Jim's son's ogres.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, yeah. Going around a bit. But like, Jim's son was using Chaos. Yeah, so, yeah, Declan shot me to bits. You know, like,
you lost another one?
I lost another one. I lost two games. Yeah.
I didn't hear about the third game.
I was like,
shot
to bits.
28 units of Skaven fucking shot to bits.
I mean, there was combat, like the knights when it, like, I pulled off a charge with my plague monks against his two units of knights and did quite, you know, took a stand off each, was quite cool. But they still then started following me up and things. And, blah, you know. And his cannons, though. I just, Skaven did not have an answer for that. I tried targeting spells at them. I tried my gutter runners, who just did not want to do what they wanted to do. Like, they were, literally the cannons were standing outside of a very convenient wood that I was just like, come on, just gutter runners, just appear. I was like, ambush those things. And like, no, they wouldn't do it. If they had done it, that might have won me the game. But
you could always move your Warlightning cannons in range and try and shoot with those.
But they were useless. Useless. Like, so anyway, I lost the second round. So the results were Ian won the tournament with 30 points with 3-10.
Wow. 3-10-0.
Perfect score. And then I forget now, but it's
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, now who came second and third.
You had one job.
Yeah.
Well, apart from working 39 hours.
Yeah, 39 hours in the last three days.
Well, you've got four jobs, apparently. You've got to do them. You can't just say you've got them and then not do them. This is a job, apparently.
This is a job. Yeah. So it was really cool. It was, I say, the prize pot, and the, concurrently to us, they were running their little Warmaster. Warhammer 9th Age little tournament, doubles one that was going on beside us, which was quite cool. And yeah, that was the story of Damjin. So, how do I go forward? Because I'm tied into using Skaven until I can go undefeated. Well, I can see lots of different builds.
Go undefeated?
Yeah,
you're going to be playing these a fucking long time.
Well, I've got to set myself a challenge. And
Undefeated.
I don't have to win a tournament. I have to go undefeated. I'll accept a draw. That's undefeated. Okay. Yeah. But that's my like stake. So I can definitely see a build where you just go super large with one character. God knows how that plays. I can see a build where you take eight units of gutter runners, and
that's just madness.
I can see a build to it though, where you go for that. I can see a build where you go heavy on shooting, so you take four warbling hands and lots of details.
I can see a lot of losses in that.
See a lot of losses in that one. But the build I'm going for next is a Breakpoint 16 one. Cuts back on the characters, adds more.
Seven's a bit fucking overkill. Come on, man.
Adds more characters into it. Sorry, adds more clan rats into it, and takes like 4 units of gutter runners and stuff. You know, so there's that price point of how many of the 70 point units do you take, you know, to for your army. And so I've dropped the no shooting. Get rid of that. Just magic. You know, and this build is comes in at a bigger army. So it'll, like, just try and swarm people essentially. You know, use a lot of initiative when I get into range of initiative, and just like there we go. But there are some things like I don't like. Skaven aren't going to have the answer to everything. They just don't. You know, and the Empire shot me to bits, and the Albion just were a really hard matchup. They just seemed to have the things they needed to take me on. Yeah. So.
Okay, so I found the results.
Yep.
Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
So from bottom to top, Murray Palmer Kislev 3 points. Tom Beach. I don't know what the fuck
it says.
Myrmidons.
No, it's Kislev.
I thought he was using Chaos.
Oh, Tom Beach. Yeah, it's Chaos. But like,
9 points.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chris or Ogre's 12 points. Well done, Chris. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a win or like 3 reasonable losses. But he always caught Paul, and he got a win. Paul went to Skaven 13 points.
Yeah, see, that was auspicious. I was supposed to get 13 because 13 is the lucky number for Skaven.
You ain't going to win many tournaments with 13 points. Scoring out of 30.
Oh, that was the idea.
Declan Waters, can you not get multiples of 13? So 26?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, true.
Declan Waters, Empire 18. Yeah. Stephen Pritchard, Dark Elves 19. Jim Beach, Kislev 21. Always the bridesmaid, didn't he, Jim? Jeez, man. One day, Jim. And then Ian Standing, Albion 30 points. 2,595 VPs. Well played that, sir. And I believe there's some prizes, weren't there? And there's also some pictures. If you go online, the posters from the 30th from Paul Godbold, you can see some of the lists. There's some photographs of some lists there. And did you get some prizes?
Well, I didn't. I got nothing.
Well, too right.
Yeah,
well,
like it.
Not even for services to Warmaster.
No.
I love that quote. So anything else to talk about the tournament? Was it good? You're gonna go next year?
Oh yeah, of course, yeah, of course. I intend to, touch wood, I intend to go attend all 7 next this year.
You do realise you're having another child in a few weeks'
and
time.
And that might be like
might be
the only things I'm allowed to do. But
I find that fucking difficult to believe. You're giving up the army, are you?
Nah. No, I might be. Like, yeah, I mean, it's all bets are off. We'll see how our lives adjust.
Giving up any of the 4 jobs, maybe.
but seriously, though. Like,
seriously.
If
you're not doing tournaments, any other game system?
I haven't got any planned up, no.
No. Planned.
No, seriously.
It's fun. Okay, we'll see how he goes. We'll hold him to it at the end of the year. So he's only going to do these 7 tournaments.
I'd be tempted to play in a Lord of the Rings one if I could take 2 lists. If I could take a good and evil list.
I'd never go near that because I'm not interested. Because Lord of the Rings to me is like a casual, friendly, let's play a nice game. I don't want any fucking tournament shenanigans because those lists were always there. They were bollocks to play against. Yeah, it was just fucking awful.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the only thing I have like planned in, as in I'm all into Warmaster.
And also maybe one faction, you might have to play Hobbits against Hobbits.
Yeah,
and shit. No, Mr. Frodo.
It's great, honestly. Everything was perfect. Yeah, I liked that there were scenarios, and it was all good. Yeah.
So they're there on the podcast, we should chat about
Fantasy Wargame podcast. Yeah.
I've listened to a few of them. Well, they're a bit intermittent, I think, at the moment, although they were certainly the last time I listened to them. So listen to them if you want another fantasy podcast to do.
Yeah.
Mainly around the Ninth Age, I think, but also some Warmaster and other bits and bobs.
I do have something else to say, should have mentioned earlier, is delivered in the mail on the day we last recorded, I got the unit of old school ogre sculpts that were kickstarted.
Okay.
And they're very nice. Yeah, say like they, if, you know, I'm talking about, GW made one type of ogres officially, like as in like the
Merc ogres.
Yep. And this guy's taken on himself to sculpt his own versions of other classic ogre models of that like. so expanded the range of models there.
I think the
came
one
with,
they...
it came with seven different sculpts.
He did. Okay, yeah. I think the original unit only had... Were they four? There were four a base, weren't they? Yeah. So there were 12 models. I think they may have had 12 different models, but lots of them were weapon swaps.
Yeah. So when you mix them together, they'll be interchangeable, like because they're the same style. And so what? At some point, I'll do two nice, cool mercenary ogre units to use in Orcs and Goblins or something. And they're just it's a lovely idea. It's like this guy's guy's taken a thing and expanded on it.
And how many does he sell them in units of 12? It was weird. I really didn't like the four and a base. They just look way too...
No, it's too busy. In a way that it doesn't suit monsters. You're right, Barry. It doesn't look right.
Like four cornered. It really didn't sit with me.
It doesn't look right.
So buy a couple of patches, you can easily make three units.
Who knows if the quality was lovely, and if he decides to do more, fantastic. Because that's the thing, this beauty of this thing we're in now, is somebody could do that.
The market's not big, but you don't need that many people.
No.
Unless you want to be like Guildford.
He easily made his desired fund, and you got free some extra ogres as well. So
I have talked about this before. It's fucking awful for commercial businesses.
Yeah.
Not GW, but the next tier of businesses. Because... for them, they can't afford to do this as like a labour of love.
No.
In order for them to produce an item, it's got to live and breathe and make money and pay staff.
And
they can't have somebody like spending fucking 3 months making some miniatures to make nothing, just to provide a service to the community. So it's like, I can see why companies like, I'm not going to pull any of them out, but you know, all they do is make miniatures.
Yeah.
And they're not GW, and they make metal miniatures. And it must be shit. Kickstarter must be shit for them.
It must be.
Hey man, you seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
Right, so just quick Blackgate miniatures update. I'm waiting for the miniature to arrive from Robbie. I've paid for one to be sculpted, and I've just showed Paul a picture of a sculpted one. I'm not ready to share that yet, although I'd prefer to share a painted version. Because the pictures you see, they can be quite unflattering. And I'm not saying the miniature's not nice to look at. It's difficult to see a 10mm miniature from a picture.
Yeah.
In 2D.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It is. Because they're so small and the features are so small. So it's due any time. I've also got Christian doing the art for the main unit, which will be like 12 figures, including command. So that's good. And hopefully, if this thing turns up today or soon, I'll get it moulded and I'll get some pieces sent out to people to do some... and maybe send Christoph one.
Yeah, perfect.
And then give people... you can have one, read if he's got time, and then gets a few painted.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I mean, yeah. I'll turn that over very quickly.
It's only a 10mm miniature.
But also, if you give me a unit, I'll paint the unit.
There isn't a unit. There's just one miniature.
Or whatever. I know how I'd do that. Yeah.
Stick on a penny or something. Yeah, so it'll be good. So, hopefully by I think Christian's quite busy, so we're probably looking at the end of Feb. The Kickstarter, and then it'll be down to my sculptor as always, because he's busy and he's got to find room to do all the sculpting. So I'm not going to go crazy with the time scale on this one. And it may be I have to cap it realistically.
But don't be afraid to do that.
No, it may not. I'm not saying cap the amount of stuff I do, the scope, stretch goals.
Yeah.
It may be I just say I can't do more than X pounds worth of miniatures because I physically don't have the fucking time to do it.
Well, that's fine.
First X.
But be honest with people.
Yeah, because because Robbie's got to do his sculpting, and then I've got to do all moulding and production. Yeah. And we're keeping it in hand.
At the end of the day, anything that when you limit supply or something, it just increases the demand for it, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not saying they won't be available eventually. Yeah, will be available eventually.
But it's just a series of times, yeah.
I don't want it to be like the people who kickstart have to wait fucking 18 months because Kickstarter is so big. I have to spend forever doing that.
Set your barriers, have your limited scope. I can produce this many, that's where it will stop, and then I will produce more once I've...
Because the way it's going to go is the main unit,
mm-hmm.
and then there's...
they have like a dog.
It's essentially, yeah, essentially you're saying it's like limited release. Limited release here now, then limited release later.
Oh, then there'll be a full release later at retail, but whenever the fuck that is. Yeah. I can't worry about retail. Yeah, exactly. So you just got to get the Kickstarter done.
Yeah.
So the first unit will be like Horde, is that how they describe the main
demonic
infantry
hordes.
Unit? The 335.
Yeah.
The mainstay, these are fucking good guys.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be 12 of those, and then there will be, I think they have a cavalry unit called Hounds.
Yes, they do.
Running at about 90 points or 95 points, that kind of level. I think it's 90 points. So that will be the next unit. And the reason that's the next unit is because that's then going to be used, recycled into the other things, which will be the chariots and the cavalry. So that's 1, 2, 3 for cavalry, and then the flyers. And then that will probably be it for phase one. So there'll be 5 units, quite a lot of scopes, quite a lot of art, quite a lot of shit to do, quite a lot of moulding and casting. But we won't go any further than that. There won't be any characters or greater demons or swarm or whatever.
In the short term, people can make their own characters from the models, or they can use chaos characters.
She's fucking tokens. It doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter, does it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that kind of game system.
Yeah.
And the other stuff will be done, but it won't be done until the phase one's done and sent out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've learned my mistake now. Yeah. The first one got a bit out of hand.
Yeah.
The second one.
Because you didn't put the brakes on it where you hadn't thought about where the brakes need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, I should have broken it down.
So they start the second round of the track, you're prepped. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm planning on doing it in just 2 batches of Kickstarter.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
The second one will be kind of minor stuff. I can't imagine people are going to need more than 1 character pack, 1 greater demon.
People wouldn't. Well, exceptions are always there, but yeah, I'd only buy 1 character pack.
Yeah, you don't even need 1 greater demon. You might want some swarms. You might not bother with them.
Yeah,
they're kind of they're hit and miss, aren't they?
Hit and miss. Yeah, you don't have to have them. Yeah,
I mean, it's not like you've got to take them, haven't you? Rat swarms.
Yes.
And if you didn't have to take them, would you take them?
I'd only take 1 or 2 units.
Can they support but not be supported?
They can support but not be supported.
Yeah.
So weirdly, they become the second rank.
Yeah, which makes no sense.
Yeah, which looks like you think it should be a first rank. But I would only... I'd probably take 1 or 2 units.
Even if they were optional.
Yeah, I'd take 1 or 2 because they're the things the enemy should shoot.
It'd give it a chance.
Yeah.
Like the cannon. Mm,
yeah.
Something, you've got to shoot something.
Oh, shoot something.
Well, then, to be fair, your units are so shit cheap anyway. What does it worry about it?
It's not much difference, yeah. but it's just because they can't be driven back. That's all. So they can't be destroyed by...
How about they get driven by... You just get confused, doesn't it?
No, but they can't be driven, like, disbanded from rolling high enough on the...
Oh, they're rolling the 20.
Yeah. Say they took 7 wounds, they can't be destroyed by the dice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is something. Mm-hmm. That's certainly not nothing. Mm-hmm. Right, so hopefully the next time we speak, I'll have this miniature maybe ready to hand out. Maybe we'll see some painted versions.
Yeah,
and it was nice to see Christos painted ogres. Fantastic.
Other thing is events update. So the next event now is BonesCon.
BonerCon! Which, you know, I'd say that it's probably going to be the last ever BonerCon.
Looks like it.
I mean, there's been a little bit of a drop off,
yeah,
let's say, in the past couple of 3.
Yeah.
Since fucking, what was the edition of War Machine? 3rd.
Yes.
The third, the death fucking nail.
The death nail. So I'm just pulling up the list here.
It's funny. I talk about this podcast, it doesn't matter now. I'm trying to finalise my order for my final press gang order, which is more than $1,200 worth of fucking stuff.
Yeah.
But there's stuff out of stock. So I've got to now dream up stuff that I don't even want. Because
it's dead to you, isn't it?
Otherwise,
you can't do anything else with those things, can you? The things you've earned.
No, so I've got to cash them in, and then I'm buying stuff that I don't even want.
Yeah.
For a game I don't even play.
Yeah.
That nobody
win,
plays.
Win.
That nobody plays. It's like, oh man, why did they do it? Why? and then you killed fucking BonerCon in the
backlash.
In the fallout. Yeah.
In the fallout of it.
We had 600 players fucking 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
So the situation is, tickets are still available. We've had a message saying tables that are, you know, saying this is the situation of the table state. There's 8 players of Warmaster, so 4 tables. So
and you've got 8 booked.
Sorry?
You've got 8 booked.
Yeah. So this is like confirmed bookings. So what we'll do is we'll play 2 games, a casual game and a game one day, and then 2 games the other day. You know, I'll chat to everyone on the event. Like, what do we fancy doing? Because we only need 3 games for 8 players, but Do you want to play a casual game?
Or you could do like do something funky, man. Do like do a round.
Huh?
Or do a round on the Saturday, and then do a fucking mega battle for the rest of Saturday.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm. And then just play two rounds on Sunday.
Or something. Yeah,
I'll play all fucking three rounds on Sunday. Yeah. Just play a mega battle all day. Saturday.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'll give people the options. Yeah, like give them the options.
Yeah, let's break the world record. Say we've got like, what's that, 2,000?
Well, 2,000 points each, so that's 16,000. Isn't it? Eight players.
8,000 aside.
16,000, 8,000 aside. It wouldn't break a record, I'm sure.
Oh, that's quite big.
But it's quite big.
8,000 aside.
Yeah.
Tell them to bring more. Send more miniatures.
At the end of the day, if you want to bring more models, who knows? Probably can't use it. Anyway, so, but then the biggest one is War Machine at 24 tables. And this is what, and casual, but casual's got 16.
24?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that 24 tables, it's just to get into a level that's over 12 tables, isn't it?
Yeah. So what's hilarious is that Warmaster is at the same level as 40k.
Yeah, but it's not, is it? It's not. I mean, now that in itself is a fucking problem, the fact that there's so few 40k players. They could have filled
the venue.
Yeah.
Twice over. Yeah. So I don't know what, that's the really, like, if you want to say, like, okay, so where did this go wrong? It's the lack of 40k players.
Well, no, the way it went wrong was Mark 3, and then nothing filled the void.
Yeah. So 40k hasn't filled the void of...
Well, it has filled the void, because I went to the GT thing, the London GT, and there were fucking millions of them.
Yeah, so they're not...
Hundreds of them.
So,
fucking hundreds of them.
Yeah, so that is what's happening. You can still buy a ticket. If you wanted to go... I don't think it's like you couldn't now play Warmaster or something else.
No, I'd sort you could play the casual space, I'd just sort you out.
Yeah, which is
still the
thing.
Exactly. John does an interesting what actually goes on at the thing.
Because ultimately, you're right. Because it's like, so if you bought a ticket and, oh, I'm here to play Warmaster, but I can't tick as Warmaster, well, we'll just turn one of the casual tables to the wall.
I'll move it.
Like, we control this.
So basically, what happens is John does all the legwork before the tournament, and then from like 8 o'clock on Friday morning till 6 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah,
he's not interested. It's just left to me and my team.
With regards to getting there, I'm just looking at the dates here. I'm working a long day shift on the 8th of February.
Which is the Friday.
So what are you going to
I've got to be there for 8 in the morning.
Oh, okay. So we're travelling separately then. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll see if someone's willing to swap it. Or get it swapped. But
I don't think there's anybody from our club going apart from us two, is there?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, so there won't be any ability to share.
Yeah, that's fine.
There used to be dozens.
And again, that was, we didn't appreciate. I
appreciated that curry night was one of my favourite ever.
There was a curry night. There was a curry night at the end of the Daventry one, the event I've just been at.
So the thing about watching the football in the pub after the event was a complete lie then?
Well, I would have facilitated.
I'm not sure it would have been facilitated.
But yeah, so the next event of 2019, or the first one, is BonesCon.
BonerCon,
and then it continues. London GT is going to be massive. I will put all I can into getting even more prize support for London GT.
He got you off, man. Did you see the stuff he got? He made it like a fucking.
But I've got a few things I can donate to it. I'm willing to donate to it. So, London GT prize support should be big.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, BonerCon prize support. That was one thing we've not mentioned. That will be insane.
For the
amount of players.
I know what I've done. I'm not sure what John's done.
Yeah, but even on what I've seen, there aren't that many players.
No, they're not.
And there seem to be quite a lot of sponsors. So we will see. So we'll materialises, but the prize pool should be good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's all for casual, generally. The other stuff has prizes of its own, like trophies.
Yeah. We'll find out when we get there.
Generally. I'm sure you can sneak something for Warmaster if that's what you want.
Yeah, like, I mean, if I get a chance today, I'll send some emails out to for Warmaster.
That's another job. Right, so I don't know how we've done today. It'll be interesting to see. But we're going to try and record in a... Are you able to do like a week or two's time?
Yeah.
I never know what your shifts are anymore.
What do you want the next episode to be about?
I don't know. But I have to look at it because the dogs, they're happily asleep on the floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I didn't quite realise. I grew up with dogs, but being a kid, you don't realise. How many hours a day do you reckon a dog sleeps?
16 hours?
16 to 18 hours. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fucking sleeping.
Yeah. Oh, the dream, isn't it? And like,
if only kids would sleep this
long. Sleep that long.
So, yeah, so we'll record in a couple of weeks' time. And this was War Master Podcast, episode 108.
Thank you for listening.
With Paul and Barry. Good night.
Would you like to know more?